You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 81. Pardon the disruption.
So we've been talking about this. The rooster is coming home to roost, or is that the rooster coming home to squat? What is that idiom? I don't even know.
Come home to roost.
There we go. So the PC sales are plunging. We've been talking about it. We've been saying it. This is a big trend. This is actually really interesting because I listening to people like hypothesize what's going on, which I really think, unless you were predicting it a long time ago, you just don't have any. The 2020 hindsight on this one is so easy because it's a comedy of errors, or rather of trends, where, you know, PC sales are plunging because people aren't buying PCs anymore. As you're moved into this whole post-PC era that we've talked about, you know, again and again and again. And then it was really kicked off with a non-intuitive version of Windows. Windows that got a lot of bad press and people can't just sit down and use. Where's the start button? As the question begins. And since, you know, and I love tech people who are like, Windows 8 is fantastic. It's like the best operating system out there. Like, I don't understand why people don't like it. And like, or I think it will take off. You're like, people. The problem is that most of the money is made selling to people that don't know how to use computers. This is like, you can't just assume that it's going to do well. But what's interesting in all of this is, you know, and the other problem that businesses don't really have a huge incentive to flip over to Windows 8 because Windows 7 works really, really well. So you kind of have this, you have this, yeah, it's a great operating system. So you have this real trifecta, as it were, that's sort of coming together, which is, one, people aren't buying desktops and laptops. Two, Windows 7 still works really well. There's no incentive for businesses to switch over to Windows 8. And three, the consumer population that would be buying it, they're intimidated by it, by its being less than familiar. You put all those three things together.
But not our parents, man. They're going to go full bore Windows 8.
Oh, maybe. That's because they don't have a choice.
No, they did. They did find a Windows 7 machine and were like, and even our dad was like, you don't want that. It's Windows 7. It's old.
Yeah. That's what I like.
Okay. Right. That's who we get it from. Sweet. Yeah. I don't care if it's worse. It's old.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, and this is just the, you know, and what we, and the other thing that everybody keeps saying is like, it's not actually that big of a deal because they're still selling a ton of computers, which if you listen to the show at a pretty length of time, we've always said that they're going to sell a ton of computers. They just will. But it's not kind of copies of Windows 8. It's the trend. It's a continuation of a trend, and it's the steepening of the trend that's really disconcerting because we already knew what the trend was. People aren't buying PCs anymore. Windows 8 was supposed to hopefully turn that around, but instead it accelerated it, which is really not what they wanted. And this is a big deal. It's a big trend in the industry, and it's going to affect companies. It's going to change, you know, it's going to materially affect Dell. It's going to materially, there's a lot of that's materially affecting them right now.
If you look at the numbers, down at the bottom, they show worldwide and then U.S. shipments. Worldwide, HP is number one, cool, barely, is down 23.7%, whereas Lenovo is flat, zero, which is actually pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then there is Dell that's down 10%, and Acer is the only one that's down higher at 31%, which is a huge drop. And then in the U.S., HP, still number one by a fair margin, was down 22.9%. Dell was down 14%. Apple was down 7%. And then again, Lenovo was up 13%.
Yeah. What is Lenovo doing? That's actually really interesting. I have no idea what's going on there.
That's interesting. So that obviously has real impact on me.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, at least HP is more than a computer company, you know.
True.
Acer's not. They're such a. Yeah, you know, and so I think, I don't know, that's gonna pay more, and you know, it's the reason why Samsung's like lambasting Microsoft every chance they get. You guys are the problem. When the reality of it is, it's just this huge. It's a trend. It's just what's happening, and Windows 8 didn't help. You know, but I think a lot of people are looking for somebody to blame, and Microsoft is a good one because, you know, they essentially created such a gigantic market, and you know, and they're the ones that turned it. They're the reasons They're the reasons why these other companies exist is because they support Microsoft. You know, that core tenant, and so when the whole thing starts to collapse, you got to find somebody to blame, and they're all pointing their. Pointing at Redmond, it'll be an interesting trend to continue to watch with Microsoft. It's not the end of the world for them this year, but over the next few, it might. And it'll be really curious to see. I'm really curious to see what they do with their next software, their Windows 8 Blue, because the real question now is like, you know, do you stay the course? Do you keep the interfaces? Do you just say, no, we're sticking with this and we're going to make it work because the future is mobile and we realize that? Or do you try to make adjustments to make it more PC friendly so that your PC partner, your partners can actually not die? Except for Lenovo, which I actually am curious about that now.
I don't know why, but yeah.
Those
are some big drops. They're still selling a lot, but you know, companies create infrastructures and expenses around expected sales, and when you have a drop like that, you kind of go all hands on deck.
Yeah. The other big problem is that your real budget computers are lasting longer. You know, that's and there's so many things. There's so many pieces of this. It's, you know, the Moore's Law has finally gotten us to this comfortable place to a large degree for PCs and stuff. It's fascinating. It's a huge topic, but we talk about it all the time. I just wanted to basically pat ourselves on the back for being right and, you know, and giving you all the interesting different angles of why this is happening. This is the big thing. This is the big takeaway. Anybody who's telling you that it's one thing is wrong. It's a bunch of different things. And I think that anybody who's making a profit off of saying it's Microsoft's fault, looking at you, Samsung, they're doing it on purpose because they want you to move away from Microsoft and move over to an operating system that they make tons of money off of at this point, which is Android. Samsung is as loud as they are, not because they're angry about losing sales, but because they want to accelerate it. they couldn't be happier if, you know, people stop selling PCs and only buy tablets. And guess what? They're the biggest tablet seller in the world.
You know? Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So you gotta be wary. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So have you been following this whole Bitcoin thing?
A little bit. And I have a video that explains how it works. If you want me to share it. It's a little under four minutes, just to make sure we're all on the same page. Because I honestly learned a lot while watching the video.
All right, tell me. Show it to me.
All right. I could do this. Share the screen. Can I just do the whole thing? There we go. Oh, it's like an infinite loop. All right, if I do this.
The world is in financial disarray. Currencies failing, economies in wild flux, jobs being lost. But what if you could build an entirely new economy, one specifically designed for the digital realm? Well, that is the dream behind Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a decentralized electronic cash system that uses peer-to-peer networking along with digital signatures and cryptographics to generate currency. Now, with traditional money, think dollars, the euro, pesos, you've got a central bank like the Federal Reserve. They issued currency and they print more or less cash as needed, but not with Bitcoin. Bitcoins are generated using a process called mining. Your computer is given a complex mathematical problem to solve, and the goal is a 64-digit number. If your grey box can successfully solve that algorithm, then congratulations, you are the proud owner of a new block of 50 bitcoins.
Ooh.
The network automatically adjusts the difficulty of mining so that 50 bitcoins are created roughly every 10 minutes. The reason they call it mining is because there's a set number of bitcoins that can ever be mined in the system. There's only 21 million bitcoins that will ever be created in total. You can't just print off cash.
Seems like a random number.
In the real world, you're digging it out of the system like precious metals from some mathematical mine.
Yeah.
Right now, a bitcoin is roughly worth $70.
Whoa.
Last year, miners generated the equivalent of $16.7 million worth of bitcoins. We're only halfway down the mine shaft with over 10 million bitcoins unearthed already.
I gotta get on this.
Like any economy, you don't want too much too fast.
Oh, man.
The value of your currency drops. Or so slow that your economy grounds to a halt. It's designed to be a self-stabilizing economy. Whether it actually is that way, though, that is a little bit more complicated.
Ooh, which we'll talk about.
To the exchanges. These exchanges allow people to buy and sell with each other. The largest Bitcoin exchange is Mt. Gox. That's here that you can purchase Bitcoins using local currencies. You can even store Bitcoins, too. Mind you, that can be a bit risky. Hackers have, on occasion, dangerously destabilized these exchanges.
Hmm.
Bitcoin is also the currency that fuels what's known as the dark web. Using software called Tor, you can hide your identity online and access the digital marketplace they call the Silk Road, where sellers flog illegal drugs like LSD, heroin, and marijuana.
Huh.
Buyers conduct all transactions using Bitcoin.
That's fun.
Fantastic.
The influence of Bitcoin is growing. WikiLeaks and WordPress will accept Bitcoin as cash.
Really?
Even the ideas behind Bitcoin are already changing the way people think about cash. The Royal Canadian Mint have just launched Mint Chip, an electronic currency backed by the Canadian government that borrows a lot from the philosophy of Bitcoin. And ultimately, that is what's most powerful about Bitcoin. Not the coins itself, but the way you can change the way we look at, think about, and most importantly, spend our money.
Cool.
Boom. Is that a good primer?
Yeah, that was a good primer. So, it sums up it pretty well. So basically what happened this last week, the value of Bitcoins had been meteoric in their value. They'd just been going up like crazy. People were making money hand over fist. Hmm. It was a pretty sweet deal if you were in on it.
Well, yeah, because that video was talking about $70. This is at like $161.
No, they were on $50. It was huge, and then in a few hour period, it plunged down below $150. I mean, it just dropped like a rock. So a lot of people lost a tremendous amount of value in a very, very, very short period of time. And so
the
question is, what happened?
Man. That's the system restabilizing. Yeah. Just a little slower than we'd like.
What's crazy about it? Yeah. Slower? You mean faster? Oh, I see what you're saying. It didn't stabilize in enough time, and then it stabilized very quickly.
Yeah.
So what happens is, So because it's kind of like gold, you have a finite supply, and as the price goes up, you don't want to spend it because, like, it's let's say it's Monday morning and you've got $1,000 worth of bitcoins, and they're all worth $100 each. Well, if by Monday afternoon they're all worth $105, dude, your value has just gone up. You've just made like $550 or whatever, $500.
Yeah.
You've made money. It's like holding on to stock. And as that price goes up, you keep making more and more money. Well, you're not going to go around and spend it on a Twix later that day. Your money is worth more today than it was yesterday. And they started, the value of Bitcoins is going up so high. Basically, everybody was like, whoa, wait, wait, wait. I'll spend it when it stabilizes. People were investing, people were buying the coins, and basically just hoarding all of their coin. And everybody stopped spending it. Well, the problem with currency is if nobody's spending any money on it, it's not with is using it, it's not actually worth anything. So the problem was that it was like you couldn't sell it, you couldn't use it. They completely locked up the market and just normal market forces. And then mid afternoon.
So how do you mine bitcoins? I'm interested in this. I don't necessarily want to trade them, but I just want to mine them and sell them.
Because
if a coin is worth $150 and you can mine 50 of them, I can do quick math and realize that's worth my time.
It's some algorithm. It's kind of like a peer to peer network. It's sort of like a BitTorrent. Is actually what they usually use as a reference. And then you just run this program and your computer will solve it. And if you can solve it faster than everybody else,
How do I solve it? I mean, like, do I have to do stuff with it?
You just run a program and let your computer do it. Well, the problem is that your computer can't do it. What people do is they start to do, I've never partaken in the mining process, but,
isn't it just once you solve it, you unlock it and we're all working on different problems?
I know, well, that's the problem, is everybody's like working together or working against each other on it. So it's like, you've got to be first. And so what a lot of people have done is they've gotten into the, building botnets or taking advantage of botnets to mine. And they actually, there was an article earlier this week that like there is an actual cost to bitcoins to the economy because of how many computers are constantly working at chugging out these 64 bit characters and working on these algorithms. And there are giant botnets that's the entire purpose, because it is so financially, or so worth your time, because the coins are worth so much and everything. And so, yeah, it's actually like a huge trade. I mean, and maybe I'm wrong. I honestly thought this was interesting from the perspective of the market crash. I don't have any idea whether or not I don't really know much about the mining, other than it's a big game, man. People are into it. It is not easy to make a lot of money really quickly doing it. Because there are people that are, way more invested in it than you are. not to say you can't do it or you shouldn't, but, So it's crazy. It's crazy. All right, man.
I'm going to look into this.
Yeah. I'd love to learn more about it. If you need help, let me know.
I don't understand the you need help part, but all right. I'm gonna do more research.
Cool, definitely.
Now that awesome. I know the numbers, which means I should have done this research like 6 months ago.
Right.
Well, live and learn.
So.